Hello, Sports is Job listeners, and welcome back to another episode. I got our very special guest here today. She is Amanda Weaver, a marketing and social media coordinator for the Winston-Salem Dash. Hi, Amanda. How are we doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Colby, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, we just spent about 15 minutes just chatting it up and talking a little about your background. But if you just want to, you know, explain, I asked you off camera, but explain the situation with your job, with the minor leagues and what it is you're currently doing.
Yeah. So I got hired on with the Dash in March, and about 2.5 weeks later, COVID hit and they were like, we're really sorry, but we have to let you go, along with basically our entire staff. So it was really hard, really upsetting. And then I was home alone and my mom was like, just come back to Austin. So I drove from North Carolina back to Texas to just be with my family. It was an 18-hour drive by myself. 10 out of 10 recommend. And so I did that and was able to be home. And now we're in this kind of limbo area where I'm back working with the Dash 8 hours a week, just really minimally. But hopefully back with them full time starting in January.
And I think that's the unfortunate situation. You know, I've seen it happen with a lot of people I know in the minor leagues. We actually have a connection. And I know that you were actually on their podcast and did a little bit of their video, but the Front Office Features podcast with Rob Crane and Chris.
With Rob and Chris.
Yes.
They are amazing. Good people. Yeah. Exactly. No, I've been very fortunate. I found their podcast actually before I got hired into minor league baseball and listened to, I think, every nugget that Chris and Rob had to say, because I was like, I have to know everything before I go to winter meeting. And their podcast was one that I took a lot from, and I attribute it my hire. I know that I'm really smart and I know I bring a lot of really great things to the table, but I think that like Chris and Rob listening to their podcast gave me a lot of really good advice that I hadn't thought of before I went out to winter meetings. So in the process of being hired by the Dash, I did a lot of research and made sure I really knew like everything I could think of to know about the Dash so that I could ask CJ and Corey, the president and vice president, really good questions to prove like I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, and so I got to like do videos for Rob and Chris for a while for Front Office Features. They like would send me files and pictures and like, hey, will you put together like a snippet? And I think that was really my first like introduction into minor league baseball. In a way, it wasn't exactly through a team, but I got to hang out with two of like one of the, they're so great. They have so much wisdom to bestow. And so it was really fun to get to work for them and for free. It was an internship basically.
And I definitely like, I geeked out because for me personally, they're one of the podcasts I listen to, outside of when I'm recording. And when I got to interview them for my podcast, like I remember interviewing them, I had like all these questions and I was kind of starstruck a little bit because I was like, I forgot some of the questions I had. I was like, oh my goodness. But it's cool that you didn't mention, and I'm gonna pull this up, and for all the people that are listening, I'll explain what I'm pulling up here. But you did the live, you were on the live episode at the winter meeting. So I just pulled it up for the people listening. I just pulled up on video here. Basically an episode, I guess you could say, picture showing what the episode's about. And at these winter meetings, you know, Amanda actually was one of the guests where Rob was giving a little bit of advice to. And so that was kind of interesting to see that. But the one thing I took from that episode, and I did listen to your part, and I don't know how this ties in, but you said literally right before he interviewed you, you said you did a group interview with the Winston-Salem Dash.
I did do a group.
And so did that play a part of the process? Like, was that the first step to you getting the job? It was.
So winter meetings is structured You go in a room. It's crazy. First of all, it's literal insanity because you just walk in this room and there's just listing of job, listing after listing after listing on these big boards. And you walk in and you go to the section per se that you want to work in. There's marketing, sales, community relations, lots and lots of sales. If you want to do sales, you can find a job at Winter Meeting because every team needs sales associates. It's just, it is what it is. Marketing is less. And I knew that I would be, I know myself as a person, I can do sales, but I would be so unhappy doing sales every day of my life. I don't handle rejection well. Okay. So when everyone tells me no, when I call them on the phone, I'd be like, I can't do this anymore. So I knew I wanted to do marketing and I walked in and the Dashes listing was there. And so you have to take your resume, you have to write the name of the job number, the team, and then another something I forgot, but you have to write all these things in the upper right-hand corner of your resume. And then you stick it in like these bins and then they take your resumes from these bins and stick them in the slot for the team to pick up and go through. And then you wait and you just hope that you'll get a phone call or an email or whatever. So then the Dash, Corey, might've been CJ actually, calls and he's like, hey, we want to do an interview. Are you available this time? I'm like, yeah, my whole point of being here is to get a job. So I'm available whenever you're available. Thank you. Unless I had another interview, which I didn't at that time. So they were like, okay, it's going to be a group interview. And I was like, what? Okay, sure. Absolutely. Which was another motivator. I'm stupidly competitive. Just grew up that way. Anything I had to, I had this like mentality of like, I have to be the best. And so that was where my like Robin Chris in the back of my head being like, do your research, know your stuff. I was like this, looking up everything I could look up on the Dash. I looked on their website. I looked at old players. I looked at old media guides. I mean, I was like in it. And so walked into this group interview and it was me and three other people with Corey and CJ. And we sat at this round table and he explained the job and we chatted and I asked my questions, asked them questions, we answered, it was great. And then there was, you know, of course you're trying not to be rude and talk over three other people, but you're also trying to be like, hi, I will be the best person for this position. Yeah. And so there's this really delicate balance in a group interview that I guess I did okay at because I ended up getting the job. But yeah, so I had literally just finished with that group interview and Rob and I had been texting. It was like his idea to come out. He was like, I think I'm going to do this because I was at this point doing videos for them. And I was like, you should do it. You should, there's, we'll set up a camera. We'll just have you sit there. We'll like video people talking to you and also record people talking to you. It's going to be great. And so I'm texting him. I'm like, I'm about to get out of the interview. I'm on the way. And I'm walking through in high heels because you have to wear a suit the entire time you're there. Boots. I don't want to go back as a job seeker ever again. I want to go back always as hired by a team so that I can wear like my nice pants and a nice shirt, but not a full suit. Okay. So I'm like running through to get to Rob when I get there and I'm like, oh good, you're here. Okay. You found a place. Blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, okay, let's interview. And I was like, okay.
I got to catch my breath a little bit.
So yeah. So I got to be on their podcast, which was like one of the highlights of my life because I sat across from Rob Crane and I was like this. And just, I think my jaw fell open. My boyfriend was like, hello, stop. And I was like, oh. Like focus. But yeah, they're so great. I could say so many good things about Chris and Rob, but it's not about them right now.
It's all about you, Amanda.
It's all about me.
It's all about you. But how do you, I guess now, so I never did a group interview, but I know it's common and especially at like these job fairs, it's a very common thing. So looking back at your experience, you mentioned a couple of things, right? Based on advice that you got from Chris and Rob is do your research. But when you look at the actual experience of doing a group interview, what would be your advice to people that know they're going into a group interview? Like, what do you think they should prepare for? How should they approach it? What are the things to do before the interview? All of that advice for group interviews.
Yeah. Group interviews are tricky because you want to be the person who is tactful enough to let other people answer. But if you know what's going on, and a lot of times the interviewer, especially if they're doing a group interview, has done a group interview before, so they're good at moderating what's happening. But understanding, like, you know your stuff, and if no one's answering, don't be afraid to be the first. If you're sitting there and silence is happening, speak up, especially if you have an answer to it. Now, if you're still kind of mulling the question over in your head, don't be like, just so that you get the first sound out, so that you're the first to speak. Because a lot of times, especially in a group interview, you kind of bounce off each other, which can be good. There was another guy in my interview for the Dash who we ended up bouncing a lot of our answers off of each other. He'd be like, oh yeah, I remember I had a project da 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 da. And I'd be like, yeah, I remember when I did a project that was pretty similar. And then you speak on your experience and it can help trigger and like get the juices flowing for you to be able to speak about your own stuff. But if no one's speaking, be the one to start it. Beforehand, do your research. I mean, that is probably the best advice I could ever give as far as any interview. Do your research, know what you're talking about. If you can, look up the people that you're going to be interviewing with, because it'll help give a little bit of insight into sometimes what they value and what they, you know, they know and enjoy. And a lot of times in their bios on the website, it talks about how like they enjoy spending time with their kids. They enjoy spending time doing XYZ. And so that is like a little tidbit of, okay, if I can incorporate this into one of my answers, it proves that I know what I'm talking about. It proves that I know I've done some research and I've looked into them and their organization. I know for me, one of the questions that I asked that I think they weren't ready for was, the Dash has a podcast and it's called The Dash of Everything. And I had done some research, looked into it, was like, oh, we haven't really done a whole lot with it. Like, they have stuff on there, but there's nothing really on their social media about it. And so I asked, they're like, do you have any other questions? And I was like, actually, I do. How much would you want your marketing and social media person to be interacting with your broadcaster with like Dash of Everything? And they went, oh, and it made CJ and Corey both raise their eyebrows like, oh, like, oh, she's already thinking of how she's going to interact with our team, how she's going to bring new ideas, and it's exciting. And she wants to incorporate our old stuff without changing a whole bunch, which to me said, you know, like, oh, like, cool. As someone who has now started interviewing, that's important. If someone can like mention something you're already doing with a, like, a new idea. So how much do you want to promote Dash of Everything? Or I see that you're doing this on your social media. Have you thought about doing this, especially if you're interviewing for a social media role? Do you do email drip campaigns? Do you do some of these other things to say, like, I know kind of what you're doing now, but what are we hoping to do once I come on board? Is a big deal, especially in an interview, because it proves you like what they're doing, but also want to add. And in a group interview, if you can be the person that kind of just stands out even just a little bit, it will be the thing that makes them remember you. So going in and being confident and not being afraid to be the first and not being afraid to be the one to ask some of those like hard questions. I say hard, but some of those questions that they might not even have thought of. Not just the typical, what does a day in the life look like? Yeah. Like, because honestly, it's minor league baseball. Every day is different. They can't tell you a day in the life. I could not tell you. Every day that I worked for, you know, the 2.5 weeks I worked, every day was different. But asking some of those kind of questions will be the thing that makes you stand out and make you a front runner, especially if you come in and you know your stuff.
And I think it's important that you mentioned that, because, and I do think that piece of advice of doing research is something that's expressed all the time, but it seems like people don't do that. And one of the interesting things was, I got to sit into a Zoom interview, interviewing the youngest D1 athletic director, sitting at the athletic director, Incarnate Word. And he showed like his research of when he was interviewing with people. It was 6 pages long. Like, he went into, the school president, where did they start? What did they like to do? And the one thing that you mentioned, which I think is very important, is staying current on what is the current situation like, as far as marketing. And you knew about the podcast and you asked specific questions about that. And like you said, it wasn't just general questions, and that made you stand out. So for the listeners, you know, for the people looking to get internships or entry level jobs in these interviews, make sure you're doing your research. And I think right now, the beauty of Zoom and COVID is that you can have your notes literally on the side of you as you're doing these Zoom interviews, and they don't even know, you know?
Yeah. And I will say that that was one thing. I am not afraid to sit there in an interview with notes. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to sit in an interview and take notes either. Because you're telling me about my job. You're telling me these things that I'm going to want to remember, and I'm going to want to know, and I'm going to want to, when you call me again, hey, let's talk again. If I see things in my notes, I'm like, I don't think I love that, then I'm not going to say like, yeah, let's have another interview. Or if I see things in notes, I'm like, I don't know, that kind of raises some questions. Yeah, let's have another interview so I can ask these questions that I have, versus, well, did they say this or did they say that? Or was it, like, I don't want to question. So I sat there in my group interview with the dash with a notepad and pen, and I took note after note after note talking about this job. And then also, because I had my notepad out, I put my questions at the top, and then I wrote my notes underneath, so that, of course, my questions were sitting right there. Did I need to have them? No, because I was so just in love with the dash. I had a couple other interviews for different jobs, but I was like, I don't want them. I just want to work for them. I called my mom. My mom was like, we laughed because I was like, mom, it was like finding my husband. I just knew. And she was like, you're ridiculous. But she also knew, like, we both of us just had this gut feeling that like the dash was going to be the place that I was going to end up working. And of course it ended up being that way, but I was like, mom, I just, everything about them, I just love it. I just, And so I didn't need the questions that I had written, but in case I had forgotten, they were right there. And it wasn't weird. I wasn't just sitting there with questions and not doing anything with like this piece of paper. However, you know what, if you are sitting there and you're hearing everything and you're one of those people that's like, you have to hear it all because you can't do both at the same time, that's fine. But you can sit there with your questions, and don't be afraid to sit there with your questions, especially if you're one of those people that you're going to get into an interview and you're afraid you might forget. Take them.
Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed to sit there with them. It proves that you've done some research. It proves that you've looked into them. If anything, they should be impressed that you're walking in there prepared.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the interesting thing. And the passion that you have, and the way you expressed how much, like you just said, it was like finding your perfect husband. Like, you can't describe it any other way, and to show that like this was the job for you. And this picture and this post, and you posted this all over your social media.
Oh, all over. I was
all over. And that quote, like you said, you know, you told your mom when you were 10 you wanted to work in a baseball front office, and here you were, where now you're working in the front office. And for me, you know, I want to go into the feelings of you felt when you got the job, like when they were telling you, because, you know, like I was telling you before, I read your blog. I read your blog. I studied your social media, and I noticed how much adversity you had to go through. You this wasn't even originally what you wanted to do, right? You wanted to be a physical therapist for some sports team. And then you wanted to be a sped teacher at one point, thinking that and then you were planning to go back to master's school, but a C wasn't good enough, so you couldn't do graduate school. And you were getting rejection letters from different jobs, and you were working outside of sports. And then finally, at this moment, you're like, oh, I get to work in a front office. And I think examining that feeling, examining what you went through, is important for people, because when you face adversity, when you face rejection, it's very hard to be, it's very hard to look at the long term. We're very short-sighted. We don't realize that these rejections are pushing us towards something greater. So I want you to talk about, you know, the feelings that you felt, and looking back at it, you know, how all of that adversity was worth it, and just that moment, I guess.
Yeah. Gosh, that it made me emotional all over again seeing that picture. Because that was the very first time I had flown to Winston. And that was right after I had accepted to work with them. And I was trying to find an apartment, and it was just me and my mom, and we flew out there and spent a weekend just trying to find a place. But we got to go over there and take a picture. And I just remember feeling all kinds of, like, you know, like angels singing, the heavens open, you know, the whole thing when I saw the stadium for the first time. Because, and so I'll segue back, but to get to the stadium, you have to come off the highway and you circle. And so you get to see the stadium kind of from like a 180 view. You see like the outfield, and then you see our big, like, Truist now, who is, you know, the partner. And then you come around and you can see from the other side of the outfield. And so it's fun because you kind of get like a full view of the stadium without actually having to be in the stadium. It's very cool. So I saw it and I was like trying to drive. My mom is sitting in the passenger seat and I'm like this. Like just rubbernecking the whole way. It was so fun. She's like, focus. And I was like, oh right, sorry, I don't know where I'm going. But anyway, so getting hired, adversity, the whole nine yards. So when I was 10, I was convinced I was going to work in a front office. Then I got injured playing sports, and that focus switched to physical therapy. And then about 2 years into college, I said, I don't want to do this. This is not for me. Switched to a major of public relations with a minor in sports psychology because I knew I still wanted to be in the sports field. Did an internship at a tech company, loved marketing, didn't like the industry. Solidified I wanted to be in sports somehow. Towards the end of that internship, I was like not getting jobs, not getting anything. And it was just this like devastating feeling every time I would apply to a job. And it almost got to the point where I was applying to jobs and I was like, I'm not going to get it, which is a horrible mentality to have when you're applying for a job. I mean, here's the deal. I know I'm great. I know I bring really awesome things to the table. So for me to have been in the position, not to be cocky, that sounded horrible, but like, I know that I bring really great things to the table in a way that like, I know what I'm worth. And that was, it took me a long time to figure that out. Pro tip, find that out earlier than I did. Thanks. So it was, got to a point where I was just applying for jobs being like, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. I also was in a different place mentality where the idea of moving too far from my family was really hard for me. And so I would have, but it would, I just was not in the same place that I was when I moved to North Carolina to work for the Dash. And so I was applying for jobs closer to home. So things in like Oklahoma, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, kind of in that area, just so I could stay kind of close to my family, but also be in the industry I wanted to be in. And I wasn't getting anything. And I even applied for like just random marketing jobs in Austin, and those weren't coming through either. And so I had this like, you know what, mom, I have this like heart for people with special needs. And I wanted to potentially do like occupational therapy for kids in like pediatrics. And so I applied, got into grad school, and grad school was not at all what I wanted to do. And I got into it, and then that first semester ended up making a C. It's one of the hardest classes that you can do at Texas State for the PT, OT, it's exercise science. That class, first of all, a lot of people don't pass it the first time, so I'm glad I even made a C. Would have been fine if I was an undergrad. Doesn't fly when you're in grad school trying to move forward. You had to have a B or better. And I made a C. And so I basically got told, hey, we're really sorry, but you can't continue in grad school. And that crushed me because I had put so much effort and so much work into it and was really thinking that this is what I wanted to do. I thought I had a, you know, like a career path change. And it wasn't, clearly. But I also think that that was kind of God's provision in my life saying like, hey, this is not what I want you to do. I know this is kind of what you thought you wanted, but it's not. Just be patient. And I was like, oh, okay. So of course it was devastating. It crushed my heart. It was super difficult. My boyfriend, who is just a little angel baby, got to see me at one of my absolute lows, which was kind of a big deal in our relationship, but I was like sobbing. It was not cute. God bless him. But anyway, so then I ended up taking a job at a chiropractic office in Round Rock, which is where I'm from. And my chiropractic office has also been my own personal chiropractic office. So when I was like, they're like, we're hiring. I was like, do you want to hire me? Which ended up being great. I love them. I still love them. They are wonderful. When the Dash called me to offer me my job, it was in the end of January, early February. I don't remember exactly when it was, but they called and I was actually on my way into work. So CJ called me and he's through my car phone. Okay. This is like how on the way into work I was. I was literally driving to work in my car. I thought it was gonna be like a quick, whatever. So I'm driving. He's like, we'd like to offer you the job. And I was like, both hands on the wheel. I think I almost passed out. Not to be dramatic, but I really think that almost happened. I just like, my whole world spun for a second. Cause I was like, am I dreaming? Is this really happening? Like, am I really about to work in an industry that I love and I'm passionate about and I want to do? Do I really get to do this? A couple weeks before that, I had interviewed for a job at the Express here in Round Rock as an intern. And they had given me that. And I was like, well, I just want you to know that I've also interviewed for this. So like, I don't want to give you an answer yet until I hear back from them simply because I don't want to start and then have to leave, which they respected. And they were like, please just let us know. So I had just gotten offers from two minor league baseball teams that I was like, what? This is insane. This is absolutely insane that I like my heart was like, I'm driving into work. I ended up pulling into the subway parking lot, put my car in park. And I was like, okay, is this real life? Like, am I dreaming? I called my mom and I was like, mom, she's at work, which I call my mom at work all the time because, you know, whatever. But I call her and I'm like, hold please, mom. Am I asleep? She was like, what? And I was like, I just got an offer from the Dash. And we knew they were calling. And so I was like, in my car, like having a whole moment, right? Like just ecstatic over the fact that like I get to work here. And I looked back at all of the things that I had gone through. And I was like, it was worth it to have my heart broken, to be in positions that were so devastating, to be in these areas that forced me to grow personally, professionally, academically. I mean, all of these positions had put me in the place I needed to be in order to be hired by the Dash. And to look back at some of those adversities is like, whoa, Like, I didn't realize in that moment that this was prepping me for this. I didn't realize that this was going to put me in this position to put me in this position. And so it's crazy to look back at some of that stuff, because I sit there and I'm like, oh God, that really sucked in the moment. But looking back on it, I'm really thankful, which is weird. It was a weird feeling to feel thankful for the things that you've gone through that are not so fun, but I am. And it's one of those things that I know I wouldn't be the same person I am today had I not gone through some of those things. If I had not tried to go back to grad school and do life on my own, I would not be nearly as like ready to have moved to North Carolina by myself. Mm-hmm. If I had not, you know, failed miserably, I would not have learned the lesson that failure is okay. And it sets you up for an even better comeback. I wouldn't have learned that mistakes are literally way more common than the times you get it right. And so it's one of those things that, like, getting into this field is hard.
Yeah.
Getting into sports is difficult. And especially because I didn't have a major in sports management, or didn't have a major in, you know, those sport focused things. I didn't do an internship in the sport industry. I didn't do, you know, some of these things that a lot of people tell you, if you know you want to go into it, do it starting your freshman year. I didn't have that. And so coming from someone who didn't start their career in sports, which, like, my career really is started in sports, but starting their, like, preparation for their career didn't start it in sports. It's really rewarding to look and be like, wow, like, all of these things made me, and now I get to be here.
And I think that's super important right now because of the COVID situation. I think a lot of graduates and a lot of people that maybe are looking to get into the sports industry, they have to work jobs outside of the sports industry. And I think when you look at your career, what were the things that you did leading up to this point, while they were in different industries, they were still in things working on your marketing craft, your social media craft. Like, there were still things that gave you tools and skills that allowed you to get the job you have today. So I think that's important to note too, as well as if you are going to have to work outside of the sports industry, you know, if it's possible, get something that falls in the line of what you want to do in sports. So if it's marketing, doing it for a chiropractor, we're running social media and promotions for them. If it's event management, working with a wedding company, you know, to do events, you know, you just learn certain skill sets and certain things you can do and apply to the sports industry. So how did you communicate? And because I'm thinking about the interviews I had to do when for jobs, you know, they ask you about specific things, you know, how you handle certain situations in that particular job within sports. So how did you communicate your experience outside of sports in these interviews inside the resume to show them that, like, hey, I don't have that sports specific industry experience, but I still have the skill sets. I still did the same thing outside of sports.
So that was where research came into play.
Okay.
Because if I can say, like, no, you're right, I haven't had the experience in sports, but I see that you're doing almost the exact same thing that I was doing in this industry. So here's my big, it's probably not even that wise. The front office industry is just a business. You are doing the exact, almost the exact same thing that you would be doing across almost any other business. If you're doing marketing, so, for example, I worked at a tech company in my internship. The marketing I did at my tech company versus the marketing I did at the Dash, almost identical, except for the thing I was marketing. Mm. So if you can say, like, I did this and this and this and this to provide this kind of outcome, they're going to be able to translate that into the same numbers that you're doing. The only difference is I was marketing tech. Now I'm marketing baseball.
Perfect. I think that's going to be for the people that's listening, because it's so common. And that's the reason why I wanted to get you on, Amanda, is because your journey isn't typical. And I think there's a lot of people out there that share the same thing. Like, it's crazy to see how many people I've interviewed on this podcast and have talked to. It's like, yeah, I didn't know I wanted to work in sports, or my degree was in kinesiology, or my degree was in political science, but here they mm-hmm. are working in a higher position in sports. So again, I think sharing your story, that's important. I want to end the podcast and kind of sharing this picture again. I got a picture, another picture here.
Oh gosh.
And
is this the one I need to be nervous about?
A little bit. So we got this here.
Oh my gosh.
So we got a very
wow, I didn't even know that picture existed on my Twitter.
This is like, I don't know how far. So I just put a picture up, everybody, for who's listening and not watching. Amanda tweeted a picture like very long. It was from January 28, 2014. It's a countdown.
I was 2014, a freshman in college.
That's crazy. So the RRE Express, is that a minor league team?
Yeah, so that is the Radarck Express. They are currently the AAA affiliate for the Astros.
And see, that's the interesting thing.
At the point in time that I was going, they were actually the AAA affiliate for the Rangers. So okay. They've had an affiliation switch, which may happen again with all this 120 moving around everything. But yeah.
So you were watching minor league baseball before you even started working in minor league baseball.
That's how I knew I wanted to work at a front office. At 10 years old.
There you go. You were exposed to that. So what do you love about minor league baseball? Because I think a lot of people do overlook it. I mean, I was never really into minor league baseball growing up. A lot of people don't even want to work in minor league baseball. So what makes minor league baseball special?
So I was blessed. The Radarck Express came to town when I was young. Mm-hmm. And we went, and I think the least amount of games I ever saw in a summer was 5, which is, that was a summer that I was sad because I didn't get to go see them as often. That became a family outing for my family. That is where I fell in love with baseball. That is where I fell in love with the environment that baseball brings. My brother did not play sports growing up. That was all on me. My mom is actually the one who taught me how to love sports. She taught me football. She taught me baseball. And then her dad taught me basketball. And so I just grew up just infatuated with the environment that minor league baseball brings. I didn't go, my parents didn't take me to major league games because the closest major league was 3 hours north in Dallas or 4 hours south in Houston. And so it just wasn't convenient, I guess, for us to go and watch a game. The Express, however, 15 minutes from my house. And so we went all the time. My mom and our first season, she became like the group ticket sales lady for everything I was involved in, for church, I did Kung Fu, for Girl Scouts, for everything. We just literally, we went one time as a family. My mom was like, you know, this would be really fun if we brought all our friends. Mm-hmm. And so she literally coordinated. And we would buy out sections in the Express and just sit there, and I would eat popcorn and cotton candy and hang out with my friends. And I was also never the kid that got up and walked, you know, some kids just walk circles around the ballpark or they go play. And I was like, my booty cheeks were in the seat the entire time. because I just loved it. I just fell in love with everything about minor league baseball. It's fun. It's quirky. It's got fun themes. The themes are out there. And the point of minor league baseball is to come out and have a good time with your family. You get to do t-shirt tosses and all these things. And I felt once I was going to major league games with my friends, the environment of major league feels more uptight, in my own opinion. It is way more about the game and the players versus, in my own opinion, this is completely me. I have several friends who love Major League Baseball, but that's what they grew up going to. So for me to grow up in minor league baseball, I feel really fortunate because it felt family. It felt like an environment that I just wanted to go spend all of my time in. I just wanted to be there. I mean, I learned the trick, which I really don't know if I should give this away. If you show up to the Express after the sixth inning, you don't have to buy a ticket. You can just walk in the front gate. I don't know if I should have given that away, but now we know. But it's because, or after the seventh, sixth or seventh, but it's because the game is mostly over by that point and they want you to come in and you're going to buy concessions. So you might as well, you know, like the price of the ticket versus, you know, sometimes I had to buy one, sometimes I didn't, but I would just go. I just wanted to be there. Minor league baseball for me has always been a 9-inning vacation. And so to go and sit and you smell popcorn and you smell beer and you smell all these things that everyone associates with a ballpark. But in my mind, I could sit on the row behind the dugout and I didn't have to pay an arm and a leg. And I could sit there and I could meet players that I knew were going to be in the majors one day and be their big cheerleader before they were big. And you get to see these young guys, especially now with the Dash. You get to see these young guys, they're 18, 19, 20, that are just starting their baseball as a career and seeing them, and they come in and they're on fire and they're excited and they're happy to be there. And they're pumped because they get to just, their job is to play baseball. Mm-hmm. And so you get to watch these guys who haven't really made it all the way to the majors where they know their hot stuff. And they're humble and they're happy and they're excited and they want to talk to fans and they want to sign autographs and they stand outside at the end of the game and they'll go down the line and say, hey, and there's just something special to me and it makes my heart flutter and I get the butterflies when I talk and I have goosebumps. I don't know if you can see it. about minor league baseball, because there's just something so close knit about it, because you can go to a game and you can meet your favorite player on the team and you can get their autograph and a picture, and it doesn't have to be through a meet and greet. It doesn't have to be because you paid to meet them. It literally is because they're there and they want to hang out with you. I also love minor league because, let me tell you what, I dig the polo and shorts lifestyle versus a suit. I told you at the beginning, okay? I love me my polo and shorts and sneakers versus having to wear a nice outfit to a game. I was always the girl also, as you can see from that old picture. I wore t-shirts and Nike shorts to games, okay? I still do that. People are like, Amanda, you don't want to like get cute? And I was like, I'm going to be sitting outside in 100 degree heat. Do you think I want to get cute? No, I'm going to sweat. No. And so, you know, I just love minor league baseball. I have grown up so thankful that the Express was 15 minutes from my house. So thankful that that was my introduction to baseball. Because there's something so just unique and special about watching, or myself even watching from the stands, where the stands are so close to the field. And watching a kid just light up because their parents have explained it and they understand, or they're realizing like, oh my gosh, I love this game. And so watching these kids just come out and just smile and laugh and their faces light up the first time they see a home run ball just soar out in through the outfield. I mean, it's different because you're so close in minor league baseball. There's not three tiers of stands where you're sitting in the nosebleeds. There's not nosebleeds in minor league baseball, because unless you're in like the home run porch, which even then isn't really a nosebleed, you're just on the back side of the field. And it's special because you're close and you're in on the action and everyone feels like you're their best friend.
Well, thank you for that beautiful description. I mean, I can tell. I mean, for the people who are listening,
I could talk about it all day long. Tell.
I know. And it's, I've actually, I openly admit, I've never been to a minor league team. And probably because the fact that I grew up in Hawaii, we don't have a minor league team out there.
There's that.
And I actually went to my first major league game last year. I went to a San Francisco Giants game versus, who did they play now? I can't remember who they played. But I just remember it was kind of uptight. Like, I remember I wasn't too sure what to expect, but I remember we got there. We dressed nice. My ex-girlfriend and I, we dressed nice. Like, she was like, well, we're going to this ballpark at night. You got to dress a little bit nice. I was like, okay. And then when we got there, I don't know. The experience wasn't like, we kind of just sat there. And I noticed with minor league teams, like, they always got fun activities going on in between the innings or in between whatever. And the major league, it was just kind of like, we sat there. We ate our $12 hot dog or however much it was,
and we enjoyed the $12 hot dog and $16 beer. Yeah,
exactly. And I was like, okay, like, this is kind of cool, this is whatever. But for my first experience, I don't know if I would ever go back. Maybe I would go back if a group of friends were going or people wanted to go, but I'll definitely, it's going to be on my list. I'll have to check out a minor league team. I think we have one about 30 or 40 minutes away from me where I live in Minnesota. So I'll have to make a drive out there, and I'll have to tell you about my experience out there.
You will. You will. Because I feel that minor league always has something going on. Major league, it's about the game. It's about the players. And especially, you can see that also in their like social media, you know, they are always posting game and players versus minor league. There's posts, funnies and other things in their social media stuff, because it's a family oriented fun place for you to come out, and it's just a different environment. So when you go to your minor league team, please call me, please tell me all about it, because I will be just like, yeah, the entire time, because I just think there's something so great about minor league baseball. And if you haven't been to a minor league baseball game, just go one time. I think it will. I mean, if you grew up going to the majors, you're going to have this love and affection for the majors, because that's what you grew up, and you have all these lovely family memories and ties to it, and you're going to love it. But there's something so just like fun and relaxing, and like, you're there to have a good time when you go to a minor league team.
Perfect. Well, where can people, for all the Sports is Job listeners, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, my Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn is all at Amanda M. Weaver. Feel free to follow. I promise I'll follow you back. I would love for my Instagram to not be full of ads, but actually full of people that I care about. So come on with it.
Well, thank you, Amanda, for hopping on the Sports is Job podcast. It was a pleasure to learn more about you all. More deeper than the research I've done, and I love the positive energy. I love the description, and I'm sure people can feel that positive vibe. And to everybody listening, if you're listening to this on the Apple podcast, please leave us a rating and review. And if you can share this with somebody that may find value as well, we will very appreciate that. And like I always say, we are all on our own individual journeys, but you are not alone.